Well, the word's good.
Amen.
You know, that changes everything, that he's alive.
That's right.
I said he's alive.
Amen.
Amen. And he lives in you.
Praise God.
I said he lives in you.
Amen.
The one that's never been defeated.
Amen.
The one that's never failed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The one that's never missed it ever. The one that's never struggled so much financially, can't pay his bills. The one that's never been sick. He lives in you. I said, you got God in ya.
Amen.
Amen. You got God in ya. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, the word is good. Go to Mark chapter 5. Of course, we finished up last week with our series on being led of the Holy Spirit. That's a lifestyle, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, being led by the Holy Spirit will bring you into things that you never thought you could ever receive. Being led by the Spirit will bring you into prosperity, will help you that you never could have imagined, will bring you into things that, you know, you struggle with for so long. God gave you an answer by following the Spirit. Amen. And we will have those, you can get on live stream and listen to them anytime, but we'll have those made into a box set, and we'll get those out as soon as possible. It'll be a little bit of time, but as soon as we can. So we're going on today to something new, praise God. And I believe it's going to be another long series, but you know what? We're just going to be obedient to the Holy Ghost and do what He wants us to do. You know, I've learned that's the key to success, doing what He wants us to do and not going any, many, mighty, mo through the Bible or just, you know, flipping and just hoping and stopping somewhere. No, I endeavor to hear from God because He knows what you need better than I know what you need. So let's pray as we get ready for the Word in Mark chapter 5. Father, we are honored, we are blessed, we are so grateful and so thankful for all that You're doing, all that You've done. And Father, we could go home right now and say we've been blessed, Father. But Lord, there's so much more. Our spirits are ready to feast. This is buffet time for our spirits. This is our big meal of the week, praise God. And we're excited about this. And flesh, if you're not, you just be quiet. And mind, if you're not, you just be quiet. We're going to give first place to our spirit this morning. And Father, we thank You and praise You and magnify You and glorify You. I thank You're going to speak through me this morning. My words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank You that when I open my mouth, You will fill it. Like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. So I thank You bullseyes are hit, and I thank You that people walk into a greater degree and a greater measure of blessing than they had before they walked in here today. And Lord, You'll always get the praise for that. Father, we don't care what the name of the church is. We don't care the minister. We're not about a person. We're not about a name. We're about Jesus. And so help us this morning, Lord, and we'll be obedient and faithful to say and to do what You want us to say and do. And we'll give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 is where we're going to go. This will be our key portion of Scripture for the next few weeks. Let me just say this, because that series, 8 weeks on being led by the Holy Ghost, will absolutely change your whole life.
Amen.
There's no reason we should struggle in any area. Any area we should not struggle, because God has offered us an invitation. So I encourage you, He invited us to acknowledge Him in all our ways. He said He would bless us. And so I encourage you, if you've not listened to all of them, or you know, one hearing's not even enough, one helping. And so get back on and say, how much do you want your future to be blessed? Amen? I gave you the steps, 8 weeks of how to get everything changed. Praise God. So let's go on to more. He said, and a certain woman, verse 25, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched My clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched Me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So here we have a woman who for years struggled, right? I mean, struggled mightily, suffered in her body. Her body grew worse and worse physically. Trying to get her body fixed, she spent all her money and still wasn't able to figure out the problem. And then she met Jesus, praise God, and everything changed. But it's important to see that this world, this woman's world completely changed and completely went on a different course of blessing. It's important to see the words of Jesus in verse 34. He says, daughter, your faith, everybody say your faith, everybody say my faith. See, you need to take ownership of this today, because what Jesus is saying to her is, daughter, your faith changed this thing. It's not enough for God to be present. It's not enough for God to be willing. It's not enough for God to be able, right? God is always willing. God is always able. He never sleeps on the job. He's always ready to pounce on your situation. 2 Chronicles says that he looks to and fro throughout the whole world, looking to show himself strong in someone's behalf. God's just looking to move in on a situation. Well, my question would be, he knew this woman had this condition up until 12 years, until this point in time. Why in the world did God not swoop down and rain down with his power and his might and his majesty? Why? Because it took the point of her faith to make her whole. Even though Jesus was willing, even though Jesus was able, fully capable, even though that was the plan and purpose of God, all the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 tells us, are yes and amen. Healing, prosperity, everything in the Bible that God has promised us, his answers are yes, you can have them. Amen. I didn't put them out there to dangle the carrot out in front of you. No, they are yours. But it's important that Jesus said, it's not because of God, it's not because of me, it wasn't because of my pity, it wasn't because you hit your lucky day and you hit the lottery that day. The reason you're walking out of here different than you have been for 12 years is because of your faith.
Amen.
Amen. Your faith. Not just faith, your faith.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, faith is our part. God has a part, right? God has a part manifesting through that and making it come to pass. But God can't do that without our faith. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. So as you can tell, we're going to start a faith series. Say, that's all you talk about is faith. Well, if you were really a faith person, you wouldn't have just said that in your head. It's true. Faith rejoices at the word, no matter what it is. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing. The repetition doesn't turn away faith. You know, until people don't get worried when situations come, until people don't get grumbly and grumpy and discouraged and depressed and angry, there will always be a need for faith. Why? Faith never grumbles. Faith never is discouraged. Faith never complains. Faith never moans and groans. Hallelujah. And as long as people are, faith never worries. Faith never gets anxious. Faith never stresses out. And as long as people and circumstances are rising up in their life and stress is the response, worry is the response, complaining is the response, grumbling, moaning, groaning, complaining, all those things, worry, anxiety, stress, fear, as long as those continue to be the responses in people's life, there will always be a need for faith, because faith doesn't do that. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just the truth. Go with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2. Look what Paul said about this faith thing. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, now notice this, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, now look at this. He says, though I have all faith, what's the result of having all faith? So that I could remove mountains. Who removed mountains? Not God. His faith removes the mountains. Now, God works through his faith, understand, but it doesn't happen without God, and we'll get to that in a second. But look at what faith has the ability to do. We saw in this woman's life, it changed her whole world.
Yes.
Paul said, I can remove mountains with my faith. What's a mountain? Anything that stands in the way of what God says you can have.
Right.
God says you can have something, there's a mountain there, right? We know this, the children of Israel. God said, this is your promised land. Well, then there were some mountains that sprung up, right? Some of them didn't use faith and they didn't get it. But some of them used faith, and what happened? The mountain got removed. Amen. How is the mountain removed? Not from just God's mercy, not just God's grace, not just God shining his happy face on you. Your mountains in your life, the mountain in this woman's life in Mark chapter 5, was removed when she got into faith.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Faith can change your whole world. Go to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Look what it says here. Jesus said unto him, now this will just blast religion right between the eyes. If you can believe, why then? He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, all things are concerning mountains as well. Why then are we complaining to God or going to God with our mountains? When God is telling us all things are possible, mountains will be removed. When you get into faith, you don't need to go to God. He already told you how to remove the mountains. Now you might say, did Pastor Mike tell us not to go to God? There are certain things that people are doing way too much darn praying about and complaining about and wondering about and hoping about. And if they would just use their faith, the mountain would move. He said faith removes mountains. He said, if you can believe all things are possible, you got to beg me for it. Yeah. Whine and complain to me about it. He said, if all things are possible, just use your faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. What am I saying? All things are possible. What is that in your life? Any mountain that you have, any problem that you have, anything you're believing God for, anything God has put on your heart that you have not yet possessed, the Bible says faith is how you're going to get into that thing. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith is our part. And so that ought to make you excited because, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are struggling financially, faith can change it. Amen. Physical problems in your body, faith can change it. All things.
Yeah.
All things are possible. See how why this pairs with what we just learned? Because when you partner faith with following the Holy Ghost and you use faith, God can speak to you and say, hey, you need to do this and add it with your faith, right? Because the Bible, we know that faith comes through speaking, and we'll see all that in this series and stuff. And you can speak and speak and speak, but if you're not open to hearing the Holy Ghost, you can speak and speak and speak to your financial mountain. But if the Holy Ghost is telling you, hey, why don't you forgive so-and-so? It doesn't matter how much speaking you're using. And Paul said that, if I don't have love, right, you got to have love paired with it. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. But he said, all things are possible. Man, that's exciting. All things. All things. That problem that you thought was impossible is just an all thing. The impossible just became possible by this verse. Let me say that again because that should make you way happier. The impossible just became the possible with this verse. That which you think is always going to elude you, that which you think you're never going to experience, that prosperity that Pastor talks about, that healing that Pastor talks about, that peace of mind, that victory that Pastor talks about, all that seems to be out of your reach is reachable because of this verse.
Amen.
Praise Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Talking about our faith. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. How are we saved? The Bible tells us here in verse 8, grace. What's grace? God's riches, God's mercy, God's ability, God's strength. But it doesn't say by grace are you saved and that's the end of it. No. It says by grace are you saved through what? Faith. What's he saying to you? He's saying my riches, my ability, my power and strength to save you, and not only salvation from spiritual salvation, salvation from poverty, salvation from torment in your mind, in your emotions, in your body, in your family, job situations, house situation, I mean, you name it. We're talking about all things here, right? Stop thinking your thing is not included. It's included in all things. The devil will say, well, that doesn't count for me. No, it counts for you. Counts for you, praise God.
Hallelujah.
But he's saying, my goodness and mercy is available, my power is available to you, but I need something to channel my power from up there to get it down here on the earth. Good. Now think about salvation for a second. It'll help us with all the other promises of God. We aren't just saved and born again because God decided that it would be a good idea. He gave us Jesus, but there are people dying and going to hell all the time. The Bible says Jesus is the only way, right? I know it's not politically correct to say it, but who gives a rip? Amen? Who gives a rip about political correctness? Jesus is my law, praise God. I follow him, hallelujah. He's saying I need something to channel it through. Well, when you heard about Jesus, you thought, well, that sounded good. But then Romans 10 said you have to do something. It says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Well, you didn't call on the name of the Lord until you got faith to believe in him. But the point was, your salvation came through faith. God flowed his power. The only way I can think of it, to make it easy to understand, is I used to work in the oil and gas fields with a friend of mine. His dad owned a business, and different times throughout my life I worked for him, summer and different things like that. And there was one project we were doing in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania, where they were drilling, I think, it was like 7 or 8 new oil wells. And one of my jobs was to get down in the ditch after the guy with the equipment thing. He said, I'm so stupid when it comes to stuff. It was something that dug a ditch, you know, it was big, and it moved dirt around, you know. And some of you are thinking, my God, well, I just don't know anything about that. So anyway, whatever they did, my job was to get down in the ditch and fuse the 2-inch plastic piping into the ground, and then they would come back and backfill it. And that plastic piping was connected to the well, and the well would pump the oil and the gas up from the ground. And then it would flow through the pipe, and it would end up in a tank. And in that process, the reason people do that is because there's something valuable in the ground. There's something worth a lot of money in the ground that they want to get out. And so when they focus on a project like that, when it comes to the gas and the oil versus the 2-inch plastic line, the 2-inch plastic line is not the thing in the ground that's celebrated. The thing in the ground that's celebrated is the gas and the oil. But with that being said, you can't get the gas and the oil without the pipe in the ground. God is ready. It's just like the oil and gas, it's in the ground. It's ready to be used. It's ready to be used for whatever, you know, it's needed for in the earth. It's ready to make people money and different things like that. It's ready to be used to change lives. But even though it's in there, it doesn't come out of the ground without a pipe. God is always God. He's always strong. He's always mighty. He's always a healer. He's always a provider. He's always a blesser. But until somebody hooks a pipeline of faith up to him, they will not experience. That woman saw that. 12 years. Do you think God had mercy on her? Absolutely. Do you think God enjoyed looking at her and seeing her struggle and become broke for 12 years? No. Why didn't God just do anything? Because God just can't do anything. That's the stupid religious mindset that has people stuck in neutral or going backwards. Well, I'm just waiting for God to do something. Stop waiting for God to do something and get God moving.
Amen.
You can get God moving on your scene. How? By faith.
Yeah.
Hook a big old fat tube water slide up to heaven and watch him come swooping down in. Amen. It's true. It's true. People, I'm waiting for God to move. No, God's waiting for you to move. Your moving will move him. Let me say that again. Your moving will move God.
Amen.
Amen. You can't get it from him until you hook up a pipeline of faith. That's why I said, by grace are you saved. It's God's. Listen, what he's saying is, don't brag on your faith. Because without my grace, it doesn't matter that you lay pipeline in the ground if there's no oil and gas. Who cares about the pipeline? The pipeline becomes important when the power's there.
That's right.
And God is saying, listen, without my grace, without my ability, without my power, without my will, it doesn't matter what you have, but I just want you to know, it's my grace, but I need your faith to flow it to you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He needs our faith. Go to James 1 and verse 6. If you don't believe me, maybe this will help you. James 1 and verse 6. This is the craziest thing. I'll just say this out. God does this with me at times, and I had a message about abundance ready to go this morning. I mean, I had notes and everything, and I knew we were going to preach a faith series, and I think I got in my head a little bit thinking, well, we just got done with the series. And I was driving to church this morning, and this whole thing just dropped in my heart that we're supposed to start it today. Praise God. So we're in the right place at the right time. I prayed. I said, Lord, okay, I'll do that. I knew we were going to do it. I just didn't know the timing. So that message on abundance will have to wait. Maybe that's what we'll preach on Wednesday night. We'll see what the Spirit of God says. But James chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Look at verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Do you see that there? If that doesn't wake you up to become a student of faith, no verse will. The Bible says, unless you are in faith, do not expect to receive one blessed thing from God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Churches need to hear this.
That's right.
Pastors need to hear this. This whole case, sarah, sarah, God will just shine his happy face on you and bless you. No, no, no. The Bible says, unless you're in faith, that's what the Word says. Let not that man think he'll receive anything. Why? Because God needs a pipeline to flow it through. Just like oil and gas is down there. Let's just stand. How dumb would it be to stand over ground that has been, they have different ways they can tell what would be the best places to drill and things like that. And I don't know the exact terms, but I just remember there's different charts. They can say, this looks a little bit better here or whatever. How dumb would it be? I know there's oil down there. They've tested it. I know there's good natural gas down there. Just stand over there. Oh, I sure hope that oil comes up. Oh, I sure hope we can reap the benefits of this natural gas. It sure would be nice to have, they're going to drill on my land. It sure would be good to have the royalties. It sure would be good to have the free gas in the winter from the natural gas. I'd have to pay for it. Oh, I hope. Oh, I just hope. Why aren't you coming? What's wrong with you? Don't you care about me?
That's good.
That's what Christians do.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
You've got to hook something to it to get it up out of the ground.
That's right.
Don't you care about me?
Come on.
I go to church, so.
Yeah.
Some of the biggest doubters and believers are in church.
Yeah.
Doubters and unbelievers are in church.
Right.
Well, I don't swear, so. I listen to Christian music and I cry sometimes. So what? So what? My good deeds outweigh my bad. So what?
Right.
I'm a tither. Your point?
Yeah.
Got to hook faith up to them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's what people do. And listen, those blessings will stay right there. Just like that oil and gas in the ground has so much potential to bring so much blessing and to do so much with, it's going to stay in the ground until someone hooks a pipeline to it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So my point is today is that with this series going forward, today's your day that you make a decision to be a faith student. Today's your day to make a decision that faith is going to be the flow of your lifestyle from this point on.
Amen.
If you want to hook into the Master. Amen? This woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, day after day for 12 years, one day she made a decision, today it ends. Today, I'm going a different direction. You have to understand, back in those times, her condition with the law and different things, she had to, if she was going to go out in public, she had to make sure she did not touch anybody because she had a blood condition. Because by touching somebody else, that would make them unclean and send them into a ceremonial washing and cleansing that was not some easy thing as like hopping in the shower. And so she had to, by law, when she would go out, announce that she's unclean. Well, that's wonderful, and that's really fun to do when you go out in public to Walmart.
Yeah.
Grab your shopping cart. Unclean! Me! Unclean! I have a problem in my body. You know the shame? You know how many times how much she probably sat at home, sad, depressed, nervous, and fearful? But yet, on this day, the Bible said there were multitudes. Even the disciples said, when she touched him, the disciples said, Lord, you say one person touched you? There's multitudes touching you.
Right.
She had to press through a crowd. You know how many people she was bumping up against? She decided, no matter where she was in life, that day was going to be different.
Amen.
And I'm hoping today, with all I preach about it, that people actually start to grasp this stuff, start to use faith in their life, and start to see mountains removed. I was when I was driving this morning, I saw something that spoke to me. about making a decision to go a different way and how it can change everything. You make a decision to be a faith person, your whole life will look different. You make a decision to follow the Holy Ghost, your whole life will be different. I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the smartest animals in the animal kingdom, it's a bird, but is a crow. I don't know if you know that or not, but crows are highly, highly intelligent. I've known that looking into different things. And, you know, if you don't believe me, study it. They're one of the smartest things going. And I was driving down the road today, and there was one on the side of the road. And I was getting closer to it, and it started to take off and fly. But it started to go into my lane, and I could tell just, calculated in my head, I could see, oh, the way speed I'm going, that bird's not going to get high enough, and there's going to be a collision. You know, and I've had that happen before. Maybe you have, where I've hit a duck. That was so sad. And I hit a duck. I hit a hawk one time that couldn't get. I didn't see it, and too late. It could have gone a different direction, but it went right in my path. You know, I've hit a deer. I've hit a rabbit. I've hit a woodchuck. I've hit a squirrel. I mean, you know what I'm talking about here. And all those animals that I hit. I remember, hitting deer. I wonder sometimes what in the world, just go a different, don't go that way, go a different way and they get hit, or whatever. But this crow started to fly into my path and it was the neatest thing. I thought this thing is smackaroo, here we go. And all of a sudden, it was like on a dime, this thing, boom, went the other way and cleared himself of danger. I thought, my God, that crow just changed his whole world by deciding to go a different way. By deciding to change and go a different way. And if these verses don't convince you that faith needs to be the flow of your life, and again, I'll just use faith. No, you got to learn what Bible faith is. That's why I'm going to teach a series on it. You know, we put things on pictures and on, you go to stores and our country stores, they'll have faith on there. Well, Bible faith is much different than what natural faith is from people. Most of the time, what people think is faith is just hope. I'm hoping that happens. Faith doesn't hope it happens. Faith knows it's going to happen. That's the difference. And you got to learn to walk into that. So I want to show you a couple things today to help you make a decision to be a faith. If you're not want to be a faith person already, I'm going to twist your arm. It's like this movie I was watching. And there was a bad guy who was trying... who was kind of blackmailing the good guy who had the money. And he came into his house in the middle of the night with, his cronies and all their guns and everything. And the guy thought he heard something, came down and saw there were people there. And so they were going to, so he saw the bad guys there, had him sit down. And he gave him some choices. Now, he gave him some choices that would not work out so well for him and wouldn't work out so well for the bad guy. But then the bad guy wanted him to make the right decision. So make the decision that would benefit the bad guy the best. So the way he did that was more or less, let's just say, twisting some arms, pulling some teeth, making some threats, and the guy chose to make his decision. So today, I'm going to not pull some teeth and make some threats, but I'm going to show you things in the Word of God that's going to coerce you to decide from this point on, I need to be in church to hear this. I need to be a faith person. I need to develop my faith because a lot rides on it, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready? I'm going to help you make a decision this morning to be a person of faith. Go to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. By the way, I did pick the Patriots. What is wrong with you people? So jealous. Listen, I'm a Bills fan, but I'm not a jealous Bills fan. You need to repent. Put your hand down. I don't want to hear it. The doors are not locked, ladies and gentlemen. You are welcome to go... I'm a closet Patriots fan. Wow, I just think they're amazing. I wish we had their players and coach. I do. But anyways, I picked the Patriots 31-24. That was my prediction. Who else picked the Patriots here? Raise your hands. Ah, see? There are still people that can hear from Jesus in this church. Praise God. Anyways, let's go on. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Oh, praise God. It's not good to be bitter, people. Just accept greatness when it's great. It's not good to be bitter. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith. Now look at this. Without faith, what are we talking about? Faith. Ladies and gentlemen, look at this. It is impossible. Well, God's in the business of the impossible, but you want to make sure that you don't put yourself in an impossible position to please Him. The Bible says it is impossible to please God. Well, remember in the children of Israel, when the spies came back, they said, we can't do it, we can't do it, it's hard, it's too big, the mountain's too big. Well, they were groaning, like I said, what faith doesn't do, groaning, grumbling, moaning, groaning, complaining, and griping. Well, that wasn't faith. The Bible said that God called them wicked, God called them evil, God was so grieved in His heart the way they acted. Why? The lack of faith angers and upsets our Father. He said, faith is what pleases me. Now, maybe people say, Pastor, I don't understand this. I'm just going to say this. I don't understand it, but I'm going to make it clear. People say, he's a pastor. I don't want to be as crazy about God as he is. Oh, you mean completely in love with him? Do whatever he says and live the most blessed life ever? You don't want that? I'll just take a measure of God. See, you've been hoodwinked in your mind to think that if you love God as much as Pastor Mike loves God, and if you'll serve God as much as Pastor Mike loves God, that something in your life is going to be missing. Come on. It's not. The more you give to Him, the greater your life is. The more you sell out to Him, the greater your life is. So when I say this, maybe for those people, this won't be important. But people that are lovers of the Father, that care about what Dad thinks, that care about standing before Him someday and having Him look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The people that care about that will care about making sure their daddy is pleased. It breaks my heart to think that I could break His. That I could upset Him and make Him not be pleased or have to be grieved over something that I do. No, I want to make sure everything I do in life puts a smile on His face that He approves of. Why? I love Him. You know, I see that with Caleb. When I discipline Caleb, you know, we do spank, but we don't spank to abuse or spank to hurt. But it's not the spank that so much bothers Caleb. It's not the words that I use to discipline him to get stern and use a different tone in my voice. It's the fact that he knows I'm disappointed that bothers the heck out of him. He hates knowing he let Dad down. That's the heart I have for the Father. Well, one way I can make sure my daddy's always pleased is to make sure I'm living in all areas of my life, financially, relationship, children, job, paying my bills, going to work, whatever, that I'm in faith. And if you're a lover of the Father, you'll want that too, but just know this. If you choose a lifestyle not of faith, you're not pleasing the Father, the very one that you're begging and crying and hoping God's going to move in your life. So number one, it pleases God. Go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Again, we're twisting your arm to be a faith person. By showing you the importance of it. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who, here it is again, through faith, right? And patience inherit the promises. And we'll look at patience in this series. But faith is listed there, number one. So the Bible says that the promises of God, like we already talked about, flow through faith. It takes faith, you could say it this way, it takes faith to receive the promises of God. Now let me say this statement to you, and don't forget it throughout the series, I'll mention it again. Faith is the currency of God.
That's good. Amen.
Faith is the currency of God. What do I mean? Just like the dollar bill is the currency in America, right? I can go down to the Super Duper after, and if I want to get a dozen of those wonderful donuts, I pull out the currency that's going to make them say, here you go. If I walk down to Super Duper, and I'd say, I want a dozen donuts, they box them up, and I go to the register, and I sit there and smile at them.
Come on.
And I start to walk away. They're going to say, sir, You haven't paid yet. I said, I did. I gave you a smile. I'm sorry, that's not the currency here. I'm a pastor in this town. I don't care. That's not the currency here. The currency here to receive this is dollar bills, right? The American currency, credit cards, whatever, however it means you're doing it. Well, in the same way, healing, prosperity, joy, peace, blessing for your kids, blessing in your body, blessing in your job, blessing in your home, favor, all those things, super natural protection, long life, the same way to receive them from the one that has them, you got to show up and pay with the right currency.
Amen.
And the right currency is faith.
Amen.
That's it. You can't pay with anything else. The same way, the only thing the super duper is going to take is what's recognized by this country as being currency that they can use to pay their bills to be blessed. And people show up all the time. They show up with their sickness. They show up with, God's told them something in their heart, and there's mountains. They show up at the register, ready to make that transaction. And they show up financially at different things, and they get to the register. And it's time to pay, and out of their mouth comes complaining. And out of their mouth comes whining. And out of their mouth comes fear. And out of their mouth comes stress. And in their body language is anxiety. In their body language is fear. Praise God. It's true. And God says, I'm sorry. Heaven doesn't receive that kind of currency. You are not able to purchase your healing. You are not able to purchase your prosperity. You are not able to get the blessing that you need. You're paying with the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Through faith and patience. Faith is the currency of God.
Amen.
Faith is the currency of God. So number one, pleases God. Number two, it's how we get what we're to receive from him. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What's the world? Anything down here in the natural that would come in your way that you would need to overcome. What would that be? Sickness. They all tie together, but it's just a different way of looking at it. Disease, poverty, fear, anxiety, stress, job problems, children problems, marriage problems, you name it, it's all there. He said the victory that overcomes those things is what? That's not what it says. It says your faith. Our faith. Not just faith. Doesn't matter. Faith just exists. It's your faith. Daughter, your faith. Now let me ask you a question. When that woman touched Jesus, got her healing, do you think that his faith level was through the roof? Oh, it was he's Jesus. Yeah, the simple answer to that is, of course it was. Do you think Jesus had any doubt and unbelief in him? No. Every time he encountered anything, what was the reaction? Faith. Faith spilled out of him. No matter what it was, faith spilled out of him. So here he was with this woman, and he says, daughter, he didn't say, it's a good thing I'm here. I have all the faith in the world. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Well, my spouse has all, doesn't matter. Well, Pastor Mike has, doesn't matter. Our faith causes us to be overcomers in this world. And I like that, you know, on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, there's, you know, I was just during the college national championship. I don't know if you watch it, Alabama and Clemson. It came down to one of the last plays of the game. I do think there was a kickoff after. I'm not sure. But Clemson run a play where it was just perfect. And they passed it real short in the end zone, got a touchdown, won the game. And they had been keeping that play reserved for that time. That when they're in a situation like this on the goal line, we're going to run this play because we know this play cannot be stopped. They didn't pull out a play. This is ridiculous. Pastor's telling you right now, the only play that will get you into the end zone of life and get you into victory is the play of faith. This is the victory. They didn't pull out a play that they knew Alabama had been studying for and preparing for and run it towards Alabama's strong side and to their advantages and to what their strengths were. No. They went with a play that they were thoroughly convinced Alabama, the best defense, maybe one of the best defenses that have ever existed in college football, will not be able to stop this play. Why? They wanted victory, so they used the right play. You might want to use a different play, or you might think of using a different play, or someone else around you is using a different play, but make sure you're using the right play when hell breaks loose in your life, financial problems, physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems, job problems, house problems, car problems, washer and dryer problems, refrigerator problems, you name the problem, when it rises up in your life, make sure you pull the right play out of the playbook, and it's always faith, because faith always leads to overcoming.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we're going to be student of faith. Faith is something I meditate in every single day of my life. I feed myself on faith. Why? It's the way I overcome. It's the way I please God. Praise God. It's the way I receive His promises. It's the way all things are going to be possible in my life. Praise God. I love it because I don't know about you if you have things in your life that seem impossible. That seem, that can't happen. That can't happen. That, there's no way. Faith is the one thing that allows me to rest on, that takes the worry away of what I can see, of what I can feel, of what naturally looks right, of what's staring me in the face. Faith is the one thing that tells me it's going to be okay. Praise God. Faith makes all things possible. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll close with this. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. We know these verses. We know them. But again, until people respond with, well, my car broke down, it cost me $1,000, but praise God the money's coming. I'll keep preaching faith.
Amen.
Well, the doctor said this, until it's the doctor said this, but praise God, healing's on its way.
Amen.
We'll just keep preaching faith. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you, or with this shield of faith, you will be able or be given the ability to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How? Through faith. When people complain that the devil's after them, I say they must just not know that the answer's faith. When people go to God and say, the devil's after me and the devil's causing me this and the devil's really stirring it up, they must not know that the answer's faith, because the Bible says faith will quench anything that he tries to do to you.
Amen.
If this verse doesn't make you want to be a Bible faith person, nothing will. Because the one that it quenches, he's the stealer, killer, and destroyer. Oh, he just wants me to stub my toe and make life tough for me. No, no. The devil wants to destroy your life, your family, your kids, your body, your mind, your finances. He wants to take and just mess anything up he can. He is the epitome of evil.
That's right.
He is. He's not just some guy dressed up in a pitchfork, you know, that runs around in this red tight outfit, you know, that goes around and just pokes you and makes your life hard. No, no, no. He wants to take you out.
Yeah.
And the Bible says we have an answer to that scary guy. That one that seems so big, bad, and tough. It's just faith. Faith is the answer to the devil. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Notice that verse doesn't say God's the answer to the devil.
Right.
Jesus isn't the answer to the devil. What is? Your faith. I'll tell you, we need to realize our responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? You do realize how rare this is, that this is being taught. Why? This isn't popular. People would rather hear in the masses, well, you know, just live how you want. God will just, you know, just God loves you. He cares about you as a child. He'll just swoop in. No, God doesn't just swoop in. He does when you lay a line for him to swoop down through. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let me say this in closing. Knowing this verse, that the Bible says this will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. We please God. We receive promises through faith. We overcome by faith. What do you think that the devil is going to try to oppose the most? Faith. The faith message. You becoming a faith person. What do you think that when you decide to be that crow and, okay, you know what? That financial situation, I see I've been grumbling and complaining. I've been moaning and groaning. That physical situation, that job situation, that whatever situation. And you say, that's the wrong way. Pastor, show me that's the wrong way in the Word. And you just decide to be that crow today and go a different way. Do you think the devil's going to just go, They've decided to go the route of faith. I'm going to leave them alone. No. He's going to, fiery darts are going to come at you. Boom. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings. Just keep pulling them out of their back. Just keep getting them out and shooting them at you. Yeah, he's going to come at you with assaults. So what am I saying to you? The devil is going to try to keep you out of this series. The devil's going to try to keep you from a faith church. The devil's going to try to keep you and oppose you that when you actually start putting faith in your finances, they might get worse. You try to put faith in your body, it might look worse at first. You put faith to a situation, it looks like that's never going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let him fool you. He's trying to get you to back off. Because what you'll think is, my God, once I started putting faith in my finances, they got worse. I'm going to stop putting faith in my finances. The devil say, gotcha. Gotcha. You will overcome. See, he said, you overcome by faith. You know in a football game when somebody wins at the end and they're the overcomers, they're the champs? You know that during that football game, there were times, a lot of times in games where there's a winner, there were times when that person was losing, that team was losing. There's times when in football games, it looked like that team had no chance. They were outmatched. They were overmatched. There was no way they could do it, and it was looking like there was no possible way. But what they do? They kept at it and overcame. Overcoming doesn't just mean instantaneously. It means that, okay, I'm going to put my faith in my finances. That means if they go backwards, doesn't matter. I'm holding on to faith because faith will get me at the final whistle. I'll be victorious. When the final bell sounds, I will be the winner because the Bible says, faith is how I overcome.
Amen.
You know, a boxer can box for 10 or 12 rounds, whatever they do. He might take a few good shots in his mouth. He might get even knocked down a few times. Doesn't mean the fight's over. Doesn't mean, just because he took a couple blows to the face and a couple body blows, doesn't mean that he lost. He just kept coming back, and that's what we need to do.
Amen.
Not give up. But be aware that the devil knows the only thing that he cannot penetrate in your life is faith. It's the only thing. So he's going to try to fight you on this. He's going to try to get you to back off of this. Don't do it. It's your answer, ladies and gentlemen. So over the next, I don't know how many weeks, we're going to look at faith, look at what Bible faith is, learn how to walk in this Bible faith, learn how to get faith, learn how to be faith giants. Praise God. Don't you want to be a faith giant? Just squash every bit of mountain that comes your way. Praise God. Well, that's what we're going to learn. So if you have to be out, if you're traveling, make sure you go back and listen to these things because God has something for you in this series. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the word this morning. We thank you so much for all that you've given to us, for all that you've provided for us. Oh, what a merciful, merciful God you are to give us the force of faith. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for faith. Father, without faith, our world would stay as is. We might be subject to the last name we had. And what I mean by that is maybe the family we grew up in has always been poor, has always been sick, has always been depressed. We would be subject to those things, but we're not. Faith can change those things. We'd be subject to what the economy says, and we'd be subject to what people say, and what our jobs say, and what our bodies say. But Father, we're not subject to those things. We're subject to the law of faith, and the law of faith says all things are possible. So we endeavor this morning to go a different way. Whatever area of our life that faith needs to be applied to, we'll apply it. Father, I just think of, as I'm speaking with you, the picture in my mind comes up of somebody that has some cuts on their body. And they might have a cut on their hand, a cut on their foot, cut on their leg, and you know, they apply some Neosporin or salve or whatever it would be, and they put a Band-Aid on the one cut. Well, that's great. You apply it to the one cut, but what are you going to do about the other cut on the other leg? So every area of our life, faith needs to be applied, is my point. So we'll do that, Father. We'll apply faith to every single area. That's our answer. We're sitting around waiting for you to do it. As we found out, that's wrong. That's not going to happen. You're willing. You want to, but we need to cooperate with you. So, Father, we'll learn. You'll help us this series. You'll give me the right words. You'll give us what we need, Father, and we'll just give you the praise and the thanks for it. We bless you. Can we just worship him for a second before we invite people? We ought to be grateful for this meal. I don't mean pat me on the back. I mean pat God on the back. Praise God. All I did was say what he wanted me to say and repeat what he already put in his word. I pretty much had the easy job today. But we thank you for it, Father. We bless you and honor you. We thank you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. So there has to be a saving. Please, nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. What does he mean, saved? Saved from what? Eternal damnation. You know, hell was never created for a person. Hell was created for the devil and his goombas. That's what hell was created for. God never created hell for people. In fact, nobody has to go to hell. The only way people go to hell is by the rejection of Jesus. But it's a free gift, heaven is. It's available to everybody. And the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Well, Pastor, how do I get the faith to be saved? Well, the Bible says that Jesus came, died, and rose again. And that if you just believe in that and confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. That you will have heaven as your eternal destination. That you will not perish but have everlasting life by calling on his name. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody ask themselves this question. If you're listening by live stream now or in the future, or if you're here under the sound of my voice, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, no, I have no doubts at all. You say, how can you be so sure? Because I have the right ticket. You know, if I go to Disney World and I show up with a SeaWorld ticket, I'm going to have a little problem. But if I show up to Disney World with a Disney World ticket, I know I'm getting in. Well, I have the right ticket. What's the right ticket? Jesus. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father except through him. He's the ticket in. The way that you can know leaving here today that you will go to heaven on your last day on this earth is by accepting Jesus, doing what the Bible says, calling on his name. It doesn't have anything to do with church attendance. It doesn't have anything to do with what you've done in your life up until this point. I know churches and religion will like to tell you that and beat you over the head and tell you you got to do religious cartwheels and religious jumping jacks to get accepted by God, but it's just not the truth. The truth is you got to believe and then receive Jesus. That's it. It's that simple. God made it simple. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, you can say, I do believe in him, but I don't know if I've ever invited him into my life. It's not enough to just believe in him. The devil believes in Jesus, but the devil will never receive Jesus. That's the difference. Lots of people believe that there was Jesus, but they don't want to make him the Lord of their life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, we won't embarrass you. We won't have you come forward, stand up, say anything on your own. It's between you and God. But if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time, you've never done it before, would you raise your hand? I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody want to receive Jesus this morning? Anybody at all? Just lift your hand high in the air and I'll have you put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Anybody want to receive Jesus for the first time? We're not going to embarrass anybody. In fact, I'll just acknowledge that your hand was up and have you put it down. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus besides the one person? Father, we had one hand, and there might be more people that need to raise their hands but maybe are a little shy. And there might be people by live stream that obviously I can't see that need to receive you or in the future. So we thank you. It's not the raising of our hands that gets us born again. It's the believing and the confessing. So if you raised your hand or if you know you should have, or if you're listening by live stream and there's no way I could acknowledge that you need to accept Jesus, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and all that prayer is going to be is inviting the Lord in. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, and I'm going to ask you to mean it with all your heart. You're not going to have to come up with the words. I'll help you along. And you're not going to be the only one saying anything. We're, as a whole church, going to pray this together. Everybody say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. Before you leave, don't rush out of here real quick. I'll be done in a second. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, we're back at it, chugging along in our Wednesday night services. Don't miss that. Also, don't forget, over in the old sanctuary, we do have fellowship people over there getting it all ready for you. So please make yourself, avail yourself to that. That will be a blessing, fellowship. Get to know somebody, right? Make it a goal to get to know somebody. And then last but not least, go Pats! Put the music on. I don't want to hear these boos. You're dismissed. Praise God.